Hey, it is good to be here. We are 2 days before Christmas Eve. We do want to invite all of you guys to come on Christmas Eve. We'll have 3 services, and those are just a really special time for our family here at Christ Church. We get together, we sing just all the Christmas hymns, Christmas carols, and spend some time thinking about just that story of Jesus' birth as we go into Christmas Day itself. So that should be a special time this Tuesday night. This morning, I just want to read a little bit out of that same passage. This is a passage in Matthew that Cheryl read from last week, because the stories of the three kings, or the Magi and Herod, overlap a lot. And so we talked about Herod last week, but Matthew 2, 1 and 2 says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.'" Let me pray for us. Father, I want to thank you for this morning, and thank you for the grace that brought us here. Thank you for your hand. Thank you for your guidance in our lives, and for your presence that protects us and walks with us, and sometimes when we're not sure what to do, or we're not sure we know where we're going, that you have a good plan that's laid out in front of us and that's also available to us. And so, Father, I pray this morning that we might hear the invitation that you are extending to us to be yours, to be your people, that we might hear that invitation you give us to be known by you and to enter in a relationship with you, that in that we might also just respond to that. That this morning our hearts and our minds would be uncluttered by the things of the season, by this day, and that we'd be open to hearing from you. So Father, speak to us clearly. We pray that this would be a place of your Spirit this morning. This would be a place of wisdom and insight and clearly seeing and clearly hearing. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you think about some of the ways that we have to kind of define our lives, one of the things, if you think about it, is that our lives consist of a lot of invitations, hundreds of invitations, different kinds of invitations. So you might have invitations to a birthday party. You might get an invitation to a wedding. You might get an invitation to collaborate at work on some project with a group. You might get an invitation to be part of a civic organization or part of a community group that takes care of things or is in charge or just does important things. But in that, each of these invitations, I want you to think of these invitations as like a door. It's like a door that's been opened to you, and it's been opened into an opportunity or into something that you did not have access to prior to that invitation. It required an invitation, and the person who invites you is like that doorkeeper who's opening that door to you. And sometimes we know what we're being invited into. Sometimes we don't have any idea, right? Sometimes we know why we're invited, because it's something that we bring, something we have. But some of the most exciting, some of the most interesting invitations are those invitations that come completely unexpectedly. I want you to think about your life. Have you ever received an invitation and you had no idea why you were being invited into this thing? I remember when I was in grade school, if you got invited to certain parties, you're going, "I didn't even know this person knew me," right? And you're super excited. And that goes on even into our adulthood. Now, these are the kind of invitations, those unexpected ones. Those are actually the invitations that a lot of times that's how we feel when God invites us into things. We don't know why. We don't know what it is exactly, but we really don't know why. It's very unexpected. Now, Christmas is coming up this Wednesday, and again, that's just a heads up for some of you guys that still have shopping to do. It's coming. Yep, Harry's raising his hand. That's me. But for the past 4 weeks, what we've been doing here is we've been looking at four different characters. We've been looking at different characters of the Christmas story. And part of what that is to keep our minds, keep our hearts focused on what the true meaning, what is the purpose of this story. So over the last couple of weeks, several weeks, coming to this one, we've learned about the prophets, and then we talked about the angels, and we talked about this crazy King Herod. And then today we're going to talk about those who tradition has depicted as, they've called them three guys, and their names were Balthazar, Melchior, and Gaspar. They're the three kings. They're the three wise men, we've said. They're what Matthew calls in his book, he calls them the Magi. Now, what we're going to do is we're not going to just look at the story. We don't want to just look at the story that is told in the dozen or so verses that we read from this morning. We want to look at the beginning of that story. We want to look prior to that story. To look at that point at when they are receiving the first time, they're realizing for the first time that God is actually speaking to them and he's inviting them into this amazing opportunity. He is opening this door and inviting them into to be a part of his story. Now, we want to do that. We want to start with the story itself. We're going to look at Matthew 2. So we'll look at verse 1 through 2 and then verse 8 through 12. So it says there, like I had read before, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem. And they were saying, 'Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" So then later it says Herod sent them to Bethlehem because they figured out this is where he was born. And he said, "Go search carefully for the child, and when you found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." So after hearing this and hearing the king, they went on their way, and the star which they had seen in the east, it went on before them. And it came until it stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures, and they presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Now, last year, we looked at some of the details of this story. We looked at some of the amazing kind of, when you put some of the dots together, some of the amazing details of this account. And I want to summarize a few of them just to give us, again, a background that's going to give us a backdrop to think about the things we want to think about this morning. But one is, most likely, these wise men, they came from this place called Parthia. It was an empire. And some of you guys that were here last year, you remember there's a huge empire that's just to the east of the Roman Empire. And they were constantly fighting over this area where Jesus was born called Judea. In fact, just 50 years prior, Parthia had been the ones who were in charge. They were the ones who were in charge in this region until the Romans had driven them out and they had put Herod, crazy King Herod, in charge of this area to act as kind of a buffer between Rome and Parthia. Second, the Magi were not probably kings. Now, they were a large part of the ruling class in Parthia. We know that from history. But they weren't probably kings. Instead, over the history, over generations, in fact, throughout many different empires that had been in that region, they had been counselors to kings. They had been wise men, sages, kind of in their governments. They had also occasionally, once in a while, one or two of them would serve as a king in these empires in the region. Third thing is this, there were probably more than just three of them. Because they were from this ruling class, they were probably bringing along cooks and bottle washers and people to set up their tents and people to take care of their animals, people to watch it. So there were a bunch of kind of support help. Also, because they had gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they had, I mean, think about this. They were the ruling class. They were the aristocracy. They were well-to-do. And they're going to bring a gift that is fitting for a king that's declared in the heavens. That's a big gift. And so because they have this gift that is fitting for this king, because of also who they were, also because of the fact that they are enemies of Rome, entering into enemy territory in Rome, and not only enemy territory, but that controlled by this one who's been kind of declared the guard dog of this buffer zone, Herod himself, they probably brought some soldiers with them. And not only that, but if you think about the fact that here are these magi, and after hundreds of years of hearing that this king is coming, they look up in the heavens and they see that the king is here, I'm pretty sure that probably more than three of them decided to go on this little trip. And so you have not just a group of three guys coming in on their camels. Most likely you have this large group of probably hundreds armed that are coming into this town. That is why in Matthew it says that Herod and the whole city were concerned. Or as Cheryl showed us last week, really it says that they were terrified when this group comes into town. They didn't know what this meant. They didn't know why they were there. That's also why they got this really quick audience with King Herod himself. Why they came right before him. Three guys wandering into town, I don't think anybody would pay much attention to. But that's not what the story is. That, we need to know that. That is really what this story looked like. We need to know that as some of the background for the situation to understand. But what I want us to do is I want us to look back before that part of the story. I want us to look back way back to that point where they were sitting in Parthia and where they first received, understand that God is reaching out to them and he's giving them even the invitation to take part in this trip, to be a part of this journey. Because when we read the story about the wise men, think about it, we're reading the story about what happens to them after they've already said yes to God, right? So we see the results of what happens when they say, yeah, we'll do this, we'll take this trip. They take God up on his invitation. And I want us to look at what they were probably wrestling with when they said yes, because honestly, that's more where we live, right? Most of our life is not spent looking back and saying, look at all the things that happened because of the invitations I accepted. Most of our life in the struggle, the challenges in life are when we're standing right in that moment where we realize that God is inviting us into something right now, and we have to decide, oh boy, do I really want to do this or not? Because we all know that when God invites us into something, that invitation, we know this, right? That it's going to mess our lives up, right? He invites us into a life that's going to be really different than the life that we thought that we were going to be traveling off and living and doing. He always does that. That's why it's an invitation. It's into something new. This door opens to an opportunity we didn't have before. So I want you to imagine this. I want you to pull out your imagination caps, right? And I want you to imagine this group of Parthian magi, right? They're sitting around in Parthia, doing what magi do in Parthia, I guess, you know. And they're choosing kings and giving out wise advice and making good decisions for the nation and stuff. And they're also, the magi were known for, they're looking into the stars. They believe that the stars speak, that God speaks, and that we're told things that go on by these stars. And so they're looking up into the stars to try and discern what is happening in the stars so that they can know more about what's happening on earth so that they can give this good advice to the kings and to people. And so a group of them begin to notice that these certain stars and planets are starting to line up. And they know that if they continue to align, that this is going to signify one of the most important, most amazing events that they've ever been a part of, that they have the opportunity to experience, to be alive during this time. They see these coming together. In fact, this extremely important event that was foretold to them hundreds of years earlier. Because they know that back in the days of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, in the days of Darius in Persia, there was a certain magi, a certain one among them named Daniel, who was a captive from Israel, who had been appointed. And if you look in the book of Daniel, it says that Nebuchadnezzar first appointed Daniel over all of the magi of his kingdom. And later Darius would appoint Daniel over all of the magi of his kingdom in order to train them, in order to show them how to discern wisely with the same wisdom that Daniel had to see the things that were going on. And one of the things that Daniel seems to have done is he has taught them how to recognize the stars that God uses to speak some of his messages as well. Because when they come in, they see these planets do align, and they see all these things come into being, and they see what they say is the star of the king of the Jews rising. Okay, so many of our, like we read, it says, we saw his star in the east, but that's actually, that's a technical term in astronomy that they would have used. That it says, we saw his star in its rising. We saw it as it ascended, and that signified to them that there was something going on, and they saw it rising in a certain way, and they said, so that they knew that what God was saying was that his Messiah, this Messiah that Daniel had talked about hundreds of years earlier, that he was being born. Now, they saw this, and they came in, and they told Herod that's what was going on, and they knew at that moment that they saw this, and they saw God speaking in the heavens. They knew several things. One, Daniel was right, right? Two, this God of Daniel had a lot of power, because all of a sudden they see, yeah, he speaks in the heavens. He makes the heavens tell what he's doing on earth. So they start to see this, and then they also begin to realize that God has just kind of given them this view behind the scenes, right? He gave them this information that nobody else has. They begin to see that God is actually extending to them an invitation to be a part of this story that he's bringing about. And at that moment, they need to make a decision. Are we going to take God up on his invitation? Now, one of the things we have to think about, and this is where I want us to focus this morning. You look at that and you go, well, how is that unexpected? Because we're talking about unexpected invitations. Those are the ones that we don't know that we're going to get called into. How is that unexpected? It sounds like Daniel told them like 500 years earlier to be looking for this thing. How is that an unexpected invitation? Well, first is this. Until that moment, they weren't sure that Daniel knew what he was talking about, right? So they had been given this information, sure, they had been passing it down from generation to generation. They had been watching the stars to see if any of these things would happen. But when that moment came, and they saw in that, they saw that this God proclaims his news through the heavens, they began to all of a sudden, here it was, that all this was true, and they knew that Daniel knew that he was talking about, and they knew that his God really had that kind of power, that kind of authority, not just in the heavens, but also in history, to predict this hundreds of years earlier and say, watch for this, because it's coming. So then they see it, and they're surprised. That was unexpected. They weren't fully sure it was going to happen. They were open to it, but it was unexpected when it actually came about. I want us to think about that, because isn't it true that many times that when all of a sudden many of us here, I think, have had God invite us into something. And in that moment when all of the circumstances in our lives, all of the words that we're hearing, all of the things that are happening in our life, they show us that God is actually reaching out to us and inviting us. Inviting us into his work, or into, he's speaking to us. Isn't that always surprising? Because most of the time we go through our lives and we kind of hold God's word and God's promises and his invitations, we hold them at arm's length. And we're just kind of holding them, waiting there. But in that moment, it's like, oh, wait a second, wow. Yeah, that's God and he's talking to me. And that's always surprising, but that is what God does. It's unexpected. So that moment that instead of just you hear the word, you hear God say, God loves the world. But in that moment, isn't it shocking when God says, no, no, I love you. Wow, really? No, God came to save everybody and to rescue them out of their muck and mire and to forgive their sins and to bring them into a life that he had intended for them from before time began. And we go, yeah. But then when he says, no, I came to rescue you and to bring you, to rescue you out of the muck, out of your life, and to open up this world and this opportunity to live a life that you never knew was out there, but that I intended for you from before time began. I came and I gave my life to forgive you and to cleanse, to clean you from your sins and from the guilt that's weighed you down and kept you from pursuing this. I came for you. And when the things in our lives and the words of God, and we begin to hear him speaking to us, That's always surprising, isn't it? It's always unexpected, and it becomes this invitation where God says, so will you walk through this door? One of the things that we need to know about God's invitations is that God's invitations always take faith. They take this, this belief that it's not a belief in the general, it's a belief, oh, me. It's that personal belief, that personal faith, oh, you're speaking to me and I need to respond. So responding to God's invitation always takes faith. The second thing that we see in there, even in that when they looked out on that night sky, right, and they saw all these things coming together, and they realized that the God, you know, God actually has control in the universe and in history, and they realized that this God is actually speaking to them and he's offering this invitation. They're looking at it, they're going, well, why us, right? Why us? We're Parthians. I mean, here's this God that they haven't even given a thought to probably for hundreds of years. They have the gods of Persia. They have the gods of Parthia. They have the gods, you know, that they worship. They have this whole other thing going on. And all of a sudden, this other God, who they're not even paying attention to, says, no, I want to invite you. And I want to show you who I am. I'm the God that controls the stars, and I'm the God that controls the heavens and the earth, and I control history. I'm over it all, and I want to invite you. And they're going, why us? How many times when God invites us, right, he invites us to participate in something he's doing, and we see this opportunity, and we may feel, you know, God kind of tugging at our heart to get in and join him in it, or to enter, you know, or God's calling us into this relationship with him, and we feel the tug, and the first thing we say is, why me, right? I don't have much to add to this whole equation. Why would you invite me? Surely you have people who are more loyal. You have people who are more spiritual. They know more. They're better. They're better people. They're nicer. Surely you could find somebody better than me. It's always surprising when God asks us, isn't it? If we're going to accept God's invitation, another thing that we need faith. We also need humility, don't we? We need the humility that realizes, you know, God doesn't invite us because of what we bring to the party. God invites us because he's inviting us to the party. It's an important thing to remember that when we accept God's invitation, we can accept it. You know, a lot of times we don't have to be humbled by God. Sometimes we find ourselves like at the lowest point of our lives, and that's when we turn to God because we've been humbled. But we don't have to be humbled all the time. We can humble ourselves. We can be doing fine and just say, hi, God, I realize that I don't have anything to bring to the party, but wow, what an amazing invitation. These guys weren't humbled. They were doing fine in Parthia when the invitation came. But if we're going to accept God's invitation, and he's constantly inviting us, he's not inviting us because of who we are. I mean, look around. He doesn't invite us for who we are. But we have to accept it then with humility as well. The third is this. And I mean, this part of the story is interesting because if you think about it, I think it was surprising to receive this invitation because of the timing. You know, you got to see him going, really, God? Why now? You know, if he would have asked him 50 years earlier to go to Judea and visit this new king, Parthia was in charge of Judea at that time. That would have been an easy trip. They could have just gone down there. In fact, they could have set up camp around him and made sure he had the best schooling. And, you know, they could have done all kinds of stuff for Jesus back then. They're going, really, God? You know, you're a few days off. You're kind of, now we got to go into this place where they hate us. We got to bring this whole army with us to make sure we don't get wiped out or attacked or something. We have to kind of work things out with crazy King Herod to let him know, just let us go see this king. Why this timing? You know, I think another thing that we need to realize, and tell me if this isn't true, isn't it true that whenever God asks us to do something or invites us into something to join him, there's always 101 reasons not to, right? We can always think of reasons why this is just a bad time. God, I'd love to follow you, but I got all this going on. I'll put that off maybe later, right? Or maybe if you would have called me in my 20s, God, I could have done something then, you know. But now I'm just tired, right? It's always the wrong time. It always costs too much. It always comes with risk. You know, we look at it and we say, you know, if I were to become a Christian, man, that's going to make work really awkward. You know, the people I've hung out with, the things we've been doing, all of a sudden I'm going to, this is just going to be a whole thing. I don't know if I can do that. If I decide to follow Jesus, my family, man, they're going to think I'm weird. I don't know if I can do that. There's always these reasons why we wouldn't do this. What we need to think about, think about the wise men themselves. If I invest this time, if I invest this money to be a part of this thing that I think God is inviting me into, I won't have enough time and money to do the things and invest in the things that I know I could be successful at. You know, if they would have never left, they would have done just fine in Parthia, right? If they would have put nothing on the line, they would have done just fine in Parthia. These magi, they would have kept going. They could have said, yeah, we knew that king was born. They would have never been a part of God's story. We would have never heard about them, probably. But they would have been just fine doing what they did. They could have been very successful. They already were successful. Sometimes accepting God's invitation, it takes faith, it takes humility, but it also takes great courage. Because we do go into an unknown place, something that we're not sure of. We're not guaranteed that we're going to be successful in that place. In fact, it looks like, a lot of times, looks like we're going to fall on our faces. In fact, the greatest story of success in our faith is what? It's how Jesus went to a cross and died in shame and suffering and then was thrown in a grave that didn't even belong to him. That's our greatest story of success. Why? Because in faith and humility and courage, he followed after that path. He walked into the invitation that God had given him. But then you look at the other side, right? You say, but we know the rest of the story. Well, at this point, you don't know the rest of the story. You're just saying, am I going to accept this invitation that God has given me? So here are these magi, right? They're looking up at the star, and Gaspar says something like, you know, we got to go, right? And somebody says, yeah, but I mean, that's going to take time. It's going to take money. We don't have it. You know, here's Parthia. They need us here. They were in a pretty challenging point at that point in history. And then Melchior says, yeah, but we got to go, right? We got to go, and we're going to have to bring a gift. It's going to have to be a good one, because here's this God. I mean, he just threw it all over the heavens. I mean, this is a big deal. We're going to have to bring a gift. Somebody say, yeah, that's going to cost us, right? Because there's always somebody. They're on a calculator figuring, you know, what's it's going to mean. And then Balthazar, he says, yeah, but we got to go. It's going to be a trip. It's going to probably take a couple of years to get there. We're not guaranteed that this isn't going to spark some international incident because we're going into enemy territory. We're not sure that we're going to even get back alive. The Romans could take us out. Robbers could take us out. We don't know. We're not guaranteed how this is going to end. But we got to go. Why do we got to go? Because this is God's invitation. Right? We got to go. Look at the results of what happened because they chose to take God up on his invitation. Look at this, okay? First of all, they walk in, and immediately everybody in Judea finds out, from the king down. Now, anybody else coming into Judea, the king may or may not have found out, but immediately the king and everybody else finds out that this Messiah, this king of the Jews, this new king of the Jews, God's chosen king, has been born immediately. You know, God could have thrown up angels in the skies for everybody else to see, you know, like he did for the shepherds and everything. He could have gone that way, but instead he brings in these guys, and they get invited into the story to almost like serve like the angels, but for all of Judea, to say, hey, the Messiah has been born, and we're looking for him. Second, it goes beyond that, right? Because they weren't from Judea. They were from Parthia. So when they go home, all of Parthia finds out, too. Because they're not just nobodies in Parthia. These are high-ranking Parthians. So the Parthians find out. And beyond that, their trading partners find out. And the places they travel to find out. So by the time missionaries go out with this new Christian faith to tell about this, not just the baby that was born, but how he grew up to be a man, how we found out it was actually God living among us, how he died and he resurrected, by the time that message goes out, India's ready to hear it. China's ready to hear it. All of the East, Parthia's ready to hear it. Why? Because these Parthians went back, because God invited them in, and they said yes. And so the impact that they had went well beyond just Judea. Third thing is this, Joseph and Mary, imagine them. They're 2 years into this thing, right? They're looking down at this toddler and they're going, nothing's happening, right? All these angels at the beginning, shepherds showing up, all this kind of stuff. 2 years in, it's a two-year-old, right? And in the terrible twos, you know, they probably needed somebody to reconfirm this message. Yes, this is God's chosen one, right? But sure enough, this whole army of people show up at their door and they say, you know what, we've come to worship the one who God has shown is the King of the Jews, is the King of Kings, the one who he has sent to save his people. They came, and so here's Mary and Joseph, encouraged by their words, encouraged and bolstered in their own faith, right? The fourth one is very practical, because very practically, Jesus and his family, they're all provided for. So these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? Very costly gifts. This is what probably supports them as they have to leave Judea, because Herod threatens their son, wants to kill Jesus, and he goes out, you know, the blood on the sword and everything. He kills all the children 2 years and under to try and get rid of Jesus. They have to flee to Egypt. Well, how do they live in Egypt? Well, maybe Joseph could find a job. I don't know. But they're given these gifts for their travels, to support them. It probably supports them for the time that they're down there. It literally saves the Savior of the world. How would you like that to be on your resume, right? This is part of the story God invited me into. I got to save his son who saved me. Right? Now, think about it. When they were answering God's call, and when they were looking at this invitation at the beginning, did they know any of that? No. None of it. They had no idea of the impact that they were going to have just by saying yes to this invitation that God has given. The thing that we need to remember most about when God invites us into his story is that we do not know what's coming. God always promises that he's going to use us in amazing ways. He just doesn't always tell us how. And I don't know even to the day they died that they knew all the things, the ways that they had impacted. All of the people that they had impacted, all of the ways that they had impacted this whole world for the message of God's love and his grace in the name of his son Jesus. You guys, I think that this morning, that all of us, most of us, I'm going to say all of us because I really do believe, but all of us are in that place where I think God is constantly inviting us into his story. I think all of us are in that place where we have recognized an invitation into God's story. Now, for some of us, it may be that we're recognizing that for the first time God has lined stuff up and he's spoken to us. You know, when he speaks, it's interesting that he spoke the Magi through the stars. Why? Because that was their language. And God, when he speaks to us, he speaks very personally through the things that we understand. And so we'll look at our lives and we'll see what we call, you know, the signs, you know, of, wow, God must be doing something because this is happening. And other people are looking going, what? Right? What are you talking about? But we know this is God lining stuff up. And it may be that he's lining stuff up and you've been feeling him calling to you. It may be that he's calling to you for the first time to enter into this relationship with him, because he's always inviting us into that. He's saying, come and find out what it means to be my friend. Come and see what it means to be my child, to be one of my people. So we hear this invitation. All that it takes, you receive the gift of my son. You just say, God, I don't even know what this means, but I need you to just start me over through Christ. And some of you are in that place where you know that that's what God is inviting you into. Some of you guys are in this place where you know that God is calling you to join him in some work that he's doing. And you're kind of hesitating. You're going, I don't know. You know, I'm not sure about the timing. It looks like it's going to cost too much. It's going to take too much time. It's gonna, why me? You know, I don't. You're asking all those questions. And you're in, but you're in that time and you know God's tugging. You know, he's calling you to either get involved with a ministry somewhere or to open up a conversation with someone somewhere or to do this personal work of just kind of be, just walking and being more like Jesus. You know that he's calling you into that. And I know that this whole room, that it's full of people, us, who are in that place of invitation. You know, the only question that's out there, you can't figure out the end of it. Of course it's unexpected. It always is. It's surprising. You don't feel right, but the question is in faith, because you see God talking to you in humility, because you know you're not bringing anything, in courage, because you know it's going to cost something. The question is, are you going to say yes? We get to read about the wise men, about the magi, because they said yes. And it changed everything, not just for them, but, I mean, the history of the world was changed because they said yes. The question every time for us is, will we say yes? Amen? There's a challenge for you, right? Going to this new year, think, where is God calling you to? Will I say yes? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the call that you have on our lives. Thank you for the invitations that you constantly put out in front of us. Thank you that it doesn't have anything to do with us. It doesn't have anything to do with our abilities or our, God, it's just not about us. But Jesus, this morning, I pray that you would help us to very clearly see, as the wise men, the magi, they looked at the sky and they very clearly saw what the stars were saying. That you would help us to very clearly see that thing that you, that invitation you are giving to us. And in seeing that invitation and seeing that it truly is you, that we would pay attention to that voice that goes deeper. We say, yeah, it's going to cost too much. Yes, it's going to take too much time. I'm not sure what this is going to mean for me. It's going to change everything. But deeper still, deeper than that, is this voice that says, yeah, but I got to go. I got to go. I have to. This is God. And it's his invitation. Help us to pay attention to that voice. Whenever you invite us, help us to say yes.